sure you can be seated. Amen. Sorry about that. I didn't hear Brother Caleb call me. God bless you. We'll go right into, we're going to move to Revelation chapter 13 tonight. Amen. What we'll do tonight is something a little different. I won't read the entire chapter. We'll focus on like the first 10 verses starting this particular lesson off. And this Revelation chapter 13, we'll find as we get more into it, this is speaks of the United States of America. This is a scripture that pertains to our nation. And a lot of people don't see that. It takes prophetic insight to kind of help us see those things. And but, you know, we'll try to break that down as we go along, and hopefully God will just bring revelation to our hearts. Here, the very first verse here in Revelation 13 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy." Now, this beast rises from the sea, and we'll come back and just kind of dwell on that a little bit. "The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years there. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Very important scripture there. No matter how much revelation people get, let's put it, I should say understanding. No matter how much understanding, because there's many people that will have understanding. They will look at the Catholic Church this, the Catholic Church that. Catholic Church, they have a lot of understanding. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to fall right into what the Catholic Church is doing. And there's nothing you can do about it. The scripture actually tells us that. And actually, you know, there'd be many, and like we said a few weeks ago, please don't. When you're looking for the mark of the beast and all that, don't look for some tattoo on somebody's hand or some tattoo on their head. That's not it. That's no way you're going to be able to identify nobody by a tattoo. Now, don't get me wrong. That don't give us right to go out and get tattoos. The scripture tells us that he didn't want us making markings in our flesh. See, so, you know, God told us that, and I know everybody in the world is doing it nowadays, but God told us not to have markings in our flesh. All right. And he also talked to us about graven images too, you know, so we should not even desire those things. We should know, no, let me stay away from that. But don't get, you know, there might be people that will come to church that have them, and they might not have known no better. So you just, you know, you work with them. But for someone trying to identify who got the mark of the beast, I see it. That's not going to be like that. It's not going to be that easy for you to look at it and see it like that. The thing about it being in the forehead, that's what you think with, right? And unfortunately, we have been indoctrinated so bad that if somebody shows us something in the scripture that's going against what we have learned, our indoctrination will say, no, I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to stay right with this, even though God might be trying to further your revelation. See? But, you know, and the other thing about with it being in the hand, that's what people work with. The hands are what you work with. And so there's people so dedicated to working for the wrong cause. Dedicated to work for the wrong cause. Just bottom line. And I mean, there's a thing about being sincere. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. Right? You know, so the thing of it is, truth is what matters most in this hour, and God knows that. You know, the scripture says when he'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make us free. All right, let's scripture again, verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." That's a powerful scripture. Just that one scripture alone tell you that Jesus did not, what happened at Calvary was just a carry through of something that already happened before the foundation of the world. See, I mean, he had us on his mind. He was as the Lamb slain before the foundation were already taking place in God's mind. So he had acted it out right there at Calvary. All right. "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." Can't wait for us to get back over to that scripture. We might not be able to get it tonight, but I'm going to go back and show you all some things in the book of Judges. Let me just finish reading. "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." So we'll leave that right there. But I'm going to go back in future lessons and show you in the book of Judges that those same words, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity," those similar words are spoken about a leader in the book of Judges, and his name just so happened to be Barak in Judges. So, and remember this scripture, as we go deeper in this, I stopped here at verse 10, but as we go further in this, we're going to see that this pertains to the United States of America. Okay. All right. I would like to, first of all, maybe try to bring a few points here. Let's go back over to verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." First of all, we need to understand that when we're talking about a beast, this is not a physical animal that we're looking for. You're not looking for a physical animal. Verse 2 tells us a beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. It didn't say it was a leopard. It was like unto a leopard. It means it moves swift. It's fast. All right, and his feet was as the feet of a bear. If I'm not mistaken, I think that they, when you use the animal of a type of a bear, you never want a bear to get a hold of you, because if he does, you're in trouble. That's it. You know, they use the thing bear hug and all that. A bear gets a hold of you, you are finished. All right. So it's the feet of a bear and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. When the lion speak, everything else listen. Right? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, the thing about the dragon, we'll read, it's got two different definitions on that. The dragon represents Rome in the scripture as well, but also if we just look back at verse 9 and chapter 12, it also says the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the scripture tells us the great dragon that was cast out, the serpent, it is Satan, the devil, same person. All right, so what we're trying to say with that is that behind a lot of this, a lot of organization in church, Satan's behind it all. All right? It's a powerful statement, but Satan is behind it all. All right? And we're going to try to dig in scripture to find, you know, these things. Satan, you know, you got to understand, you know, these people that go around and call themselves worshiping Satan, that don't trick nobody. That don't trick nobody. The devil realized most Christians ain't going to fall for that, you know. But what most Christians will fall for is stuff that's going on right inside the church. They're oblivious to the enemy being behind the whole thing. They're oblivious to it because it's happening in the church. And that's where the devil that's where he's deceiving most of the people, right in the church. All right. Okay, so I want to maybe pull up a few scriptures. A couple of quotes, and then maybe we'll go into a little scripture. I got two quotes that I'll read here now. This is going to come out of the Mark of the Beast. The year is 1954, the month is 05, the date 13, 05-13, and I'm going to read paragraph 124 and 125 on that. And then I want to probably turn over to Daniel 7 in a little bit. But let's just read this quote, and then I'll read just a little bit more. Praise the Lord. If you don't mind, we'll just kind of take our time and go through this and just pray that as we take our time, the Lord will just open up our understanding so that we're clear about what we're reading. All right, I'm pulling this out of Mark of the Beast, 1954, 05, 13. And let me just grab my... Okay. The verse, you can leave the quote up. The scripture there, Revelation 13:5, says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given given unto him to continue forward in 2 months." Also, verse 1 says in chapter 13, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." The name of blasphemy. So this starts out, what is blasphemy? It's to make fun of, ridicule, talk about. Now watch. He had 7 heads, 10 horns, and watch when he come up out of the sea. Now Revelation 17, you that's putting it down, 17:15, said that the waters represent thickness and multitudes of people. So coming up out of the sea, which is water, that represents, is coming up out of a thickness and multitudes of people. That's what water represents. So this beast represents a power, an ungodly power, a beast of prey raised up out of the people, and he stood upon the sands of the sea. All right, raised up out of the people, and he stood upon the sands of the sea. And I saw the beast. If you all, the Catholic Church rose up out of something that was pretty much already established. Christianity had already been established, but somebody got some idea, you know, to make the universal church, and that's what Catholic means, the universal church, got some idea to start that, and that was the first organized church to ever get started. Started way back in the days of Paul. He was coming against a lot of these things. But started way back then. Even they claim that Peter was their first pope, right? This is what the Catholic Church claims. Peter was their first pope. Problem with that is that they say their popes can't be married. Peter was married. And also where they say that Peter was, where he was reigning as pope, history refutes that, and Peter was nowhere near the city that they say he was living in. See, so there's too many holes in their story, but what happened with we said this before, if you tell a lie, keep telling that lie, eventually people believe that same old lie. See, you know, and that's what they did. They just kept telling a lie till that thing just sunk in, and then no matter what you go and tell somebody, and you can even give them the historical facts. You go, many of these diehard Catholics, many of them, you go give them the facts, they will not consider anything you're saying. These are people that would take the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their hand. You understand? Because they will not consider the truth of the matter. They're going to go no matter what you say. Now, I say that about Catholic, but you know what? The Catholic was the first organized group. Every other group came out of the Catholics. And I can show you that in history. See, every other group. And that's why when we'll read later on, say a mark, a light, a image unto the beast. Image unto, that means it's a copy of. It's exactly like the original. Even though it might be in a different name, it's still set up exactly like the first church, the universal Catholic Church. Amen. All right? So that's what this all, I mean, even when we talk about, and I don't know if I'm going to get there all tonight, but even when we talk about the Catholic Church being the whore, the great whore the scripture speaks of, but also talk about her having harlots. That means she was a mother that gave birth to babies, right? And I'm going to try to get to that a little bit, but she gave birth to babies. They had to come out from underneath her, and every church eventually, all the girls usually go back home to mama. Is that the truth? A boy, he leave home, he gone. But a girl, she stick around pretty close. She'll come back home to mama eventually. Amen. Same thing going to happen with the church systems. They're going to go right back to where they come from. Mama was the Catholic Church. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's, and I saw the beast. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, its feet. His feet was the feet of a bear's mouth, the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority. The dragon. Just scroll up a little bit more. We got two things under consideration. Now, watch this piece. It had four different characteristics in it, and this is where we want to try to bring that forth out of Daniel. The four different characteristics. And if you'll take Daniel 7, you are marking it down, Daniel 7. Daniel saw the same vision 800 years before this. 800 years before this, saw the vision. He saw those beasts, separate one from another in the beginning of the Gentile ruling. And here they are, John seeing it, and the end of the Gentile ruling, all four of those beasts represented in one. So Daniel sees it in the beginning of the Gentile ruling, and John seeing it towards the at the end time. Same exactly, same animals, same beasts, same powers. All right, they represent as powers. So it says, and here they are, John seeing it at the end of the Gentile ruling, all four of those beasts represented one, them same old devils, demons that possess each kingdom of the Romans down through and the Greeks and so forth on down through the Gentile dispensation has come right down and all met up in one beast. We'll find him directly and see who is, right? All those, leopard, lion, and all that dragon. How many knows what the dragon is? The dragon represents Rome. Yeah, so that's what I was saying a little earlier also. But Satan's behind that whole thing because we just proved that with Revelation 12:9. Let's go over here to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Let's read this. Amen. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel here, during the time that he's there in captivity, God raised up a nation to bring punishment and judgment to his people, Israel. They had forsaken the laws of God, the word of God, and as they forsook that, God had to bring judgment upon his people. And the first group that he brought upon them was the Babylonians. Amen. That was the first group. They came from out of nowhere and just took the people into captivity. But then there were other groups that came, other powers, other countries that rose up later on, and they were able to take over the Babylonians. And, you know, it was just a thing till it went all the way down into Rome. And that's where it's at now, but it's kind of changed. So let me just kind of read this a little bit. And, you know, what I mean by change is no more a physical power anymore. Rome is not feared as a physical threat as far as a nation. Anyone, if Rome stood up right now and said, we're going to declare war on somebody, people would laugh at them. See, because they're not feared in that manner anymore. Yet they were feared in the days of Jesus. It was the Roman capital punishment that brought Jesus a death to the cross. The Romans came up with these things, you see. So, but they're no longer feared in that capacity anymore. But what happened when that deadly wound was healed, that they came back in their force is spiritual now. They have more control spiritual than any other religion. The Romans that got more and like, I mean, like the scripture even just asks us, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Who can make war with the Catholic Church? See, that she's in every nation. See, she's in every nation. Who gonna make war with her? How you gonna destroy the Catholic Church? You can't. She's in every nation and in very powerful positions in the nation. Very powerful positions. Actually, the Catholic Church be controlling stuff like people don't know. This old new healthcare plan, The Catholic Church want to make sure it lines up with what they see. No other church is even being considered. But if the Catholic Church said, no, that don't right there, that part right there don't line up the way our doctrine is. So we need y'all to go back and change that a little bit. The Catholic Church is in control. Notice where they, a lot of these hospitals, they have the Catholic names, right? So there's certain services that they'll offer that other hospitals won't offer. And there's some that they won't offer. And they have that much control, church. And, oh, my, y'all just watch all these things that's happening, you know, around us. And it's not much that we're going to be able to do about it. You know, that's just the way it is. But it's good to understand, you know, look, sometimes God can challenge us to make us use our faith sometimes. So, you know, amen, just be ready to do that. All right, okay. Here, Daniel 7, I just want to read this. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Praise the Lord. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea. Again, sea representing water, water coming out of the people. You know, I mean, the water representing the people. So this is something that rises up from the midst of the people. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And this is representative of the Babylonian kingdom that came in. And took many of the Israelites hostage. All right, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, after the Babylonian kingdom was destroyed, the next kingdom that came in was called the Medes and Persians. All right? It's the Medes and Persians that came in, and they took over the Babylonian kingdom. You all remember the story in the book of Daniel where they had the handwriting on the wall. All right? At the very time that, and again, I always say this, you know, because people say this, they use this as a saying now, you know, it's like handwriting on the wall, you know. But they don't understand when you're using that statement, that is a statement of judgment. Okay, that's a statement of judgment. When somebody say it's like handwriting on the wall, that's judgment. People make jokes about that all when you're in your workplace. You ought to see the handwriting on the wall, you know. Well, no, I need my job. You know, I don't want to see no handwriting on the wall. See? I mean, and if it's there, I pray God erase it, you know, something. But, you know, this is a sign of judgment. Because at the very time that this handwriting's on the wall, you know, Daniel, they couldn't interpret it. Oh, my Lord God help us. Back there, it was unknown tongues. It was written in an unknown tongue by the finger of God. Now, this is at the entrance of the Gentile kingdom. It was in unknown tongues. That's why at the closing of the Gentile kingdom, you see an abundance of unknown tongues. That's the way it came in. That's the way it's going out. All right? And that's why you see an abundance of it. You go to the grocery store, unknown tongues. At the gas station, unknown tongues. Go from church to church. Unknown tongues. Just call somebody on the telephone. Unknown tongues. It's an overabundance of it now. And then they tell you if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's not even scriptural. But they base their whole denomination on it, you know. But a lot of these things, church, they don't realize that is completely off the word of God. But what we're seeing here, you know, when it comes to a spot where they had something unknown tongue there, they could not get interpreted. They had to go seeking for a man that had the ability to do that. He was a prophet. God God raised Daniel up to be a prophet. See, and Daniel come back and tell him exactly what it said. And at the time he interpreted, the Medes and Persians are coming right through they thought their wall was so fortified. Here they come right across a river or something like that, tearing the place down, tearing the Babylonian kingdom down. See, and they was weighed in the balance and found wanting. Judgment had already set upon them. Amen. They were partying, having a good time, and didn't realize judgment was upon them. You know what? America was the same way. The same way in America, they was partying, and all of a sudden, the Japanese come out of nowhere. Pearl Harbor. See? And because of Pearl Harbor, that's why we see the rest of Revelation 13 being fulfilled, because we're going to see later on how fire came out of the sky. What was that? The bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. That's what that was. That's the United States of America doing that. All right, let's keep going. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, and is that? No, okay. Behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said, thus unto it arise, devour much flesh. Remember, the first was like a lion that represented the Babylonian kingdom. The second beast here represents the Medes and Persians. The third beast here, verse 6, and this, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Let's see, is that right? Yeah. This is the third kingdom coming in, is Alexander the Great, the Grecians. All right, that's the third kingdom that's coming in. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. This fourth beast represents Rome, because they're the ones that overcame Alexander the Great. They took over after that. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. A mouth speaking great things. If you all would just go back to Revelation 13, 6. It says there verse 5, Revelation 13, verse 5, said, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. All right? And blasphemies and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So Daniel's seeing this, and John seeing the same thing. This beast that was given power, this fourth beast, Rome, was given power, and he was given a mouth to speak great things. Now, church, today, if there's anything spiritual that need to be said, who do the people turn to? They go straight to the Pope. Anything spiritual that need to be dealt with, even when it come down to this thing, you know, Lord, help them. But even when it came down to how people was criticizing what they were hearing about the priests and little boys and all this other type of stuff going on, and here you got young men rising up and been messed up for life because of what done happened behind in some room somewhere with a priest. All right, they come out against it. And the Pope just write a little note about it, and all of a sudden everybody just kind of sweep it right underneath the carpet. And they just, the mouth that speak great things, whatever the Pope got to say, that's what we'll take. And people just go right along with it, church. They've given this power, you know, as well as the scripture saying that, you know, Satan, the serpent, the devil, the great dragon, you know, all the same person gave them this power. See, And now everybody turn and look, what does the Pope have to say? I think there's a few people that really don't mind. They don't really, you know, I hate to say it like that because this tape may get, they really don't care about what the Pope got to say, right? And we know that we also need, if we had audience with the Pope, we wouldn't bend no knees, we wouldn't kiss no hands, we wouldn't kiss no rings. There's a few people on this earth that's just like that. They not going to bow because they know what's behind the whole thing, all right? I mean, God's prophet had an opportunity to go there and say, you got audience with the Pope. Oh, yeah, I do. What I got to do when I go in there? Just you know, make sure you kiss his ring when he put his hand out, and then make sure you bow. And when you back up, don't turn your back on him. Just kind of back up, but don't turn your back on him. Never turn your back on the Pope. Say, I got to kiss his ring, I got to do this. Okay, cancel my appointment. Now, you know that probably put us on a put us on the map. Who would have the audacity to cancel an appointment with me? Who would have that audacity? A prophet would, and a prophet has taught God's people. He said, I call him Reverend, I call him Doctor, but I ain't kissing his hand, and I'm not giving no man that type of worship. Not one man would get that type of worship. If that means, you know, whatever it means, that's just what it means. Amen. Even Esther's uncle had that revelation, right? Mordecai had that revelation, right? I'm sorry, Haman, I ain't bowing. I'm nothing. You're not even going to get a salute from me. Nothing. Boy, he hated that fella. Went built gallows for him. Be careful them gallows that you're building. You may hang yourself. Praise the Lord. He that killed with the sword gonna have to die with the sword too. So, amen. The sword is the word of God. All right, let's just kind of go on to another quote here. I wanted to kind of bring this in, and we'll. This is a rather lengthy quote here, but I think it'll be a blessing, and then we'll call it a night. We'll come back and pick up some more. Actually, I'll read two. The first one will be a little shorter. Let's turn, let's go to the message to Messiah. This is 1961, 0117. 1961, 0117, paragraph 74. E74, I'm sorry, E74. And Brother Branham goes on to say this. Now, what we're referring to here is this beast. My. In verse 1 in chapter 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. We got to be so careful with when we see the word beast. Again, it represents a power. But if we were to turn in our Bibles in Revelation 4, we'll also see that it talks about beasts as well over there. But it's two different beasts that it's talking about. One here, and here what we find in Revelation chapter 13, this is the Greek word for this beast is called Therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N, Therion, which means an untamed beast. All right, Therion means an untamed beast. All right, and so we're gonna bring that out here in a second. Okay, this is out of Messiah. This says, I was preaching the other night on them four living creatures, and that's what it is over in Revelation chapter 4 when it talk about the beasts there that surround the throne. They are actually living creatures, not just beasts, but they're not powers. They're just living creatures, okay? I was preaching the other night on them four living creatures, and they were not beasts because the words, they're living creatures in Hebrew, in the Revelation, the fourth chapter, the word translated is zoon, Z-O-O-N, which means living creatures. In Revelations 11 and Revelation 17, that's another name altogether. It means a wild, untamed beast. And I believe he's referring to Revelation 13 here. But this was living creatures. What they were cherubims, like was at the gate, guarding the holy place. That's what it speak of in Revelation 4. They were cherubims, like was at the gate, guarding the holy place. We see them Ezekiel, the first chapter, when the amber light of God and the rainbow was there. and the glory of God, which we got a picture of it the same way that that they saw it there. We had a picture taken of it, and there it was right in the building, taking a picture of the light, just exactly the way Ezekiel saw it. Ezekiel 1, verse 26 to 28, and I got that picture in my office where Brother Branham was saying there, the pillar of fire that was that people were able to take a picture of, just the way Ezekiel had explained it, and this showed up in the 50s, 60s. Ezekiel 1, 26 to 28 shows you the picture of it just like he saw the glory of God. Now, you see, the eye of the camera can sometimes see the thing that the human eye can't see. That's right. They've seen it when humans don't see it. But we just become so chugged up, our light meters, where they ought to be holy light meters, they're chugged up so with foolishness and denominations and things, we can't see no further than our nose. Something like that. We don't see those things out there. And the Holy Spirit is here today. He's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power, the same signs, the same wonders, the same God, the same baptism, the same Holy Ghost, the same thing. Everything's the same because he can't change. Amen. We're certainly trying to get things unclogged so we can see what God wants us to see in this hour. All right. Let's go to this message, this 1961, January 8th, 0108, paragraph 249. This is out of Revelation chapter 4. And this is Brother Branham just preaching on that. So we will take this and just kind of bring a little bit more information on this beast that we're talking about here. Let's just get a little bit further. Let's take the rest of the sixth verse over here of the fourth chapter. I got some comments wrote down here on that, but I want to hurry and get to, if I can, the rest after we leave this verse, it just simply just rotates saying what they did. Let's see if we can get through there. Glass, sea of glass. Now we know what that was. And in the midst of the throne, four living creatures, beasts. Now, how many's got a revised version of the Bible? And he's quoting Revelation 4, 6 there. In your revised version, it says living creatures. Well, I wonder how that this King James here said was four beasts. Well, it gets me a Greek dictionary and go back in the Bible dictionary and find out what that meant. Now, here's what it is. Now, notice close. The word translated here, now you mark it down so you can look it up too. Be sure. See, I want you to mark it down. What I say, if you can or want to, all right, the revised version says living creatures in it. Now watch. And there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And it goes ahead and describes the beast, which we'll get to in a minute. Now, the beast here is represented. Have you got a margin reading in your Bible on the beast? If you have, get over in the margin reading. I noticed Dr. Schofield here has it marked out in this. The beast means, he got it over here, says living creatures. Oh, my. Now, watch. The Greek word there is Z-O-O-N. It's Z-O-O-N. Now, in the Greek, it's called zoon, which means a creature. Now, I think it's very important the way that Brother Branham's just kind of going through there and talking about how he's going through the marginal regions, readings of Scripture. And, you know, oftentimes I just kind of hate to be the one to break this kind of news. But oftentimes, you can go to a Bible bookstore, and they have multiple Bibles on the shelf that you can go. And you can sometimes open up a different Bible from a different manufacturer and get a different interpretation of a scripture. Right? I mean, you get one, say, okay, that ties over to Daniel 7. Somebody else say, oh, that tie over to Ezekiel. Oh, that tie to Genesis, you know. And you get all these different people's opinions, and you just going through looking like, and I'll be first one to admit many times, as you know, when you get into the spirit of reading the Word of God, and you just sit there, and God just begin to break things down to you, and then you're like, okay, let me see what this go with over here, and I'll turn and I look and say, this don't fit, this just don't work, that ain't right, you know, what you got, and what you need to understand is that the people that are writing these Bibles, they are theologians. And they're giving you their opinion as to what they feel works. They're theologians. And as you can see, men do not agree on everything. All right? So what we need is not necessarily a theologian. We need prophetic insight. That's what we need. And I'm going to tell you, as we read this, like I was just telling y'all earlier, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Because I read that over in Judges, I'm like, oh my, this is a perfect fit here. And it just so happened that the guy's name was Barak, you know. But I'm like, wait a minute now, these seem to go together. Theologian's not going to put that together. But that's just something that God would give me as I'm reading in the spirit of the word, you know. So, and already having a knowledge already of what Revelation 13 is all about, you know. I know this pertains to America. Theologian's not going to tell you that. They don't see fire coming out of heaven represented as when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. They don't see that. So they're not going to put that there. You'll never see in one of your side comments, read Hiroshima or see Hiroshima. You won't see that. But we know by prophetic insight, that's exactly what that scripture's all about. I mean, there's other scriptures there about when they had to hold told the angels to hold the four winds from the earth. What was that? That was World War I that came to an end because they was about to destroy the whole thing right there. But God said, no, hold it right there. And they don't even know how the war stopped. On the 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th minute of the 11th hour, the war just came to a complete stop. Nobody know how it stopped. God stopped it because they was using gas in that war. They would have destroyed the entire earth if God wouldn't have stopped it. Some of us wouldn't even be living today. But the Bible said that, and most people don't see World War I. You won't see that inside your comments there. See, but that's why I take prophetic insight. And it's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, and it's nothing wrong with trying to study the scripture out and get answers, but there's something in your spirit to tell you when something ain't right about what they said. And you're exactly right, because most of the time it's theologians trying to put their thoughts behind it. This is what they think it means, see? But it never really agree with your spirit totally, see? Amen. That's a good place to be. All right, let's keep on going. Now, it isn't so. If you want to read it now, we haven't got time. I was going to read it, but I haven't. Put down Revelations 11, 13, and 17. Now, there were beasts. There where beast is, the chapters in Revelations 11, 13, and 17 is called beast the same way, but the beast, their interpretation is therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N, therion, the Greek word therion, which means while untamed beasts. Therion, that means a wild, untamed beast, but zoon means a creature. See, four living zoon creatures, not the beast wild therion, but zoon living creatures. It's so important to break that down. He's breaking Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation 11, 13, and 17, breaking that word beast is being used in both contexts of the scripture, all those contexts, but it means something different, all right? Therion is a wild, untamed savages. In other words, if you watch the 11th chapter, the beast of Rome, the 13th chapter, the United States, the 17th chapter, both the United States and Rome, of the denominational churches consolidated with Catholicism, makes them unconverted, untamed to the gospel. That's what it means. They're untamed to the gospel. Bring them the Bible, they will reject it. That's an untamed, wild beast. All right. Amen. Untamed to the gospel. And he used it, woo, untamed. Bless God. We come from a big Methodist church, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal denominations. We know what we're talking. Nobody's going to tell us, there you are, untamed, unconverted, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despiser of those that are good, having the form of, in scripture, the finishing part of that scripture is having a form of godliness. That's why I said the devil deceiving people in the church. Amen. Now, nobody say they worship their devil worshiper. They not fooling nobody. But in the church is where people are being fooled. Go through that now. And I just love to tear that thing to pieces right now. But so it'll get on this tape anyhow, but we haven't got time to do it. Now, you understand, how many understand, say, man, what is Zoom, Z-O-O-N? Living creatures, it might be pronounced Zoom, Z-O-O-N. How would you pronounce that? Zoom? Zoom, I'd say. And Therion is T-H-E-R-I-O-N, Therion, see? And so that means untamed beast, wild savage. That's what them beasts. You take, get your Greek dictionary and go right back and see if it ain't the same word. You look in there and see it. Get your Greek textbook, get your emphatic diglot, and find out if that isn't true. That is true. That it means untamed beasts in Revelation 11, 13, and 17. And here in Revelation 4, it means a living creature. I just happen to bring an emphatic diglot. So I'm going to read y'all Revelation 13, verse 1 out of the emphatic diglot. And see if he's telling us right here. All right. This is what it's saying in emphatic diglot for Revelation 13, verse 1. And I was placed on the sand of the sea, and I saw a wild beast ascending from the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and on his heads names of blasphemy. So this wild beast is exactly what Brother Ram is trying to bring us to. We see that that's true. I didn't even talk about the 7 heads. That represent the 7 heels that Rome sits on. 7 heads are the 7 heels that Rome sits on. The Vatican City sitting over there on 7 heels. Amen. All right. The Bible described it so perfect. You know, we can't miss this. The unfortunate part is many people can see that. There's many churches teaching that. Many, many, many. We're not the only church that teach that. Many denominational churches that teach that. The unfortunate part is that they don't realize that they have set themselves up just like the mother church. And in setting yourself up just like the mother church, eventually you go right back into and agree with and work with and walk with the mother church. You'll be kissing the Pope's ring and everything else. All right, let's keep going. And here in Revelation 4, it means living creature, not a beast, but it's called beast, but it isn't. Same thing in Ezekiel 1:8-28 it is. Maybe we get to it in a minute. All right, untamed, unconverted, wild beasts, untamed. But these are living creatures. What are they? They're not angels. I tell you what. Let's read in Revelation 5 right across the page, Revelation 5 and 11th verse. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels, plural, round about the throne, and as a conjunction, and the beasts and elders, see, and a conjunction. They were not angels, neither were they elders. They were living creatures at the throne. Oh, don't you love this? Living creatures. They're not angels, because this proves it right here. See, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. There's 3 different categories here. I hope you all got this system down here. Now I want to show you there's 3 different categories of it, 3 different species. Now look around the throne. Here's the throne. Now the first at this throne is 4 living creatures. Outside of that is 24 elders, just like that, elders setting upon their throne, upon their thrones. Little thrones under, and around this great host of angels around the throne. Oh, see what I mean? They're everyone different from one the other. There's angels, here is elders, and here is living creatures. Now, let's not leave that for a minute. Let's just hold it there a minute. Living creatures. What are they if they're not angels? They're not redeemed men. What are they? Would you like to know? Here's my interpretation. I hope it's right. I believe it is. They are God's guards of his throne. They are God's guards of his throne. We went through this before, and what we found is that these same guards were there blocking people from going back into the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell, they were blocking the cherubim that were there. Blocking people from getting back into the Garden of Eden. Well, you know, as we kept on going through our Bible studies, we found that those, you know, Ezekiel, you know, saw him as a wheel in the middle of wheels. They just was moving all over the place. It just kept going from one place to the next place. And what we find now is that those same cherubim are now trying to push people back into Eden conditions again, trying to push them back in. At one time, they were blocking, not allowing people to go there. But now they're pushing us, trying to get us back into Eden conditions again. See, so what we were trying to bring out there is that when we look at the beast here in Revelation 13, and we compare that to Revelation chapter 4, two different type of beasts. The scripture speaking of one is Therion, which is an untamed, wild beast. The other one is Zoom, you know, living creatures. That's what it is. It's very important because there's people that will have you take out your Bible. Well, look, it say right here, beasts. And it say right here, beasts. You got to know exactly what you're talking about. See, I mean, yeah, you might see that word, but that's not what it's mean. You're going to have to go back and look at things like the emphatic diglot, or go back and look at some of the original translation of the scripture to get a clear picture as to what is being talked about. But here in Revelation 13, this is a wild, untamed, unconverted beast represented in the Catholic Church. And right now, I think they have that sign over the, you know, the 666 in Roman numerals and all that. But it also says something about Vicarius Filii Dei, something like that. But instead, what it means is instead of the Son of God. That's what it means. In Latin, it says Vicarius Filii Dei, and all those letters in Latin letters equal the number 666. But what it means is instead of the Son of God. It means instead of. That's untamable. That's wild. That will not be converted by the gospel. No sense to even presenting them the word of God, because they don't go by the word of God. It ain't nothing but the truth. They got the Maccabee book. They got other books they trying to add to the Bible. Books that they say, you got to be careful when you say things like that. That, you know what? They miss putting this in the Bible. You sure about that? You sure that they miss putting it in the Bible? Because most of the time, I mean, we can go through the scripture and see how it just dovetail one with the other. God don't make no mistakes. God is not like man that he should lie. See, and when he also wrote in his word, he say, those that add to the word are take away from it. See, I mean, that's why we got to be extremely careful when we use that type of terminology. They forgot to put this in. Nuh-uh. Some of these books that they forgot to put in, if you read some of that, it don't have nothing to do with the rest of the scripture. This is something that man has come up with. Man has made this up. And they will use that to try to pinpoint some of the things. I mean, you go to churches nowadays, they don't even preach from the Bible. Especially a lot of these Catholic churches. I've been inside some of them, and not even preaching on the Bible. What is he up there saying? Got some book of Judith and book of this and book of that. And like, well, where do these books come from? They mean more than God's word. You know, but then they'll try. Again, remember, you tell a lie, keep telling it, eventually people believe it. You know, that lie got started years ago, you know, about that. And, you know, they told a lie. They tried to tell a lie about Jesus. Did he really rise again? Or what y'all do is y'all tell people that somebody come and his disciples come and stole his body away. You keep telling that lie, eventually people gonna believe it. People wouldn't believe that Jesus rose because of the lie that was told. You know, if people kept telling a lie about you, everybody would believe that lie. Watch Brother Jack, he a thief. Then I come to your house and you start hiding stuff, putting stuff up. Cause, you know, Brother Jack here. Why y'all do? You brought it out when so-and-so. But Brother DJ was there. You ain't do that. But no, you not Brother DJ. You Brother Jack. You a thief. And you done heard that lie from somebody else. I ain't never took nothing from you. But just because you heard that lie, you act that way towards me. Church, that's what people do with the word of God. They done heard lies from the pulpit of the church, been listening to them for years, so they act differently towards the word of God. God help us. Amen. I pray that those that were here and hear this tape, that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will not be deceived. I pray that. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for this little time we're able to kind of break in on Revelation chapter 13. There's so much here, Lord, that we know that you want to show us. Help us, oh God, to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to in this hour. Lord, the enemy has so much to try to deceive us with, but Lord, we thank you that we can find a place where we can get truth. You told us that the truth will make us free and help us to see things in a different light. God, we pray that you would bring us into that marvelous light. Don't let us add to your word. Don't let us take away from your word. But Lord, let us walk in the fullness of the revelation of what you've written. We realize, Lord, we're living in a day where these things are supposed to be understood. If there ever was a time, Lord, that it was supposed to happen, we're in that time right now. It's days, Lord, no way that Daniel would have known that John would have picked up what he said and wrote the exact same thing. No way that he would have known. He was just writing what he saw in his dream and in his vision of the night. But you had it written there for a reason so we can connect it back and see, Lord, at the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, these are things that you promised. Here also at the end of the Gentile dispensation, we're seeing the exact same thing. These four beasts, these four powers, Lord, that are moving into one power. God, we just ask that you would help us, Lord Jesus, to recognize it, to realize what's taking place, Lord, and just continue to walk in your revealed word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare for tonight.